WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636. Let me try that again. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number, or just spell it. Spell it like it sounds. 855-915-WMFO. Give us a call. We love to hear from our listeners.
We do indeed.
Coming up later on tonight, we'll take a look at what's in the NAFTA deal. The brand new, or the USMEC, whatever the new acronym is for that. We'll take a look at what's in that. And we'll get you caught up on Brett Kavanaugh and all of the fun that we've had with that in the past week. Up to and including idiotic remarks by the President of the United States last night. This guy.
I know.
Still our president.
Honestly, the past news week has just made me very tired.
Yeah. I think a lot of us are coming from that perspective right now. And by the way, for those of you who have heard about the shooting in South Carolina, 5 law enforcement officers have been shot. That's as much as we know. That's as much as we're going to find out probably before the end of the show tonight. So
we'll find out more.
Yeah, we'll find out more. If anything breaks regarding that story, we will let you know. But other than that, it's sort of business as usual. You know, breaking news and all that. So, Shay, we do this.
Let's get this party started.
We do this thing every week. Where instead of just talking about the news or reading you the news, we try and see how much you know, how much we know about the news.
Which, as people who report the news, it's kind of important that we know a decent amount, even though you stump me pretty much every time.
Yeah, well, look, to be fair, if I'm absolutely fair about it, there are certain things that I'm going to talk about, like football.
I actually have a football story this
week. All right.
So get super pumped.
You know, as long as that, I expect some of these are going to be a little out of left field.
A little over my head.
Yeah, but as long as we get the big ones, we're good.
Well, for me, we're going to start with local news. And my hint for you is Marriott.
Marriott workers went on strike today at two locations here in Boston.
Oh, actually six.
Oh, six. Mm-hmm. Well, there are two downtown, and there's like four out.
Yeah,
in the
I was
burbs.
Gonna say like out in the commuter areas, as I like to put them.
And the main grievance that they have with the corporation, among the usual, you know, we want more money, we want more time off, we want better benefits, but the main grievance they have with the corporation is Marriott refuses to give them regular hours.
Yes, and well, that's their big problem is that all of them have to have second jobs.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and it's ironic that this is happening now because, as our listeners know, I waitress during the day, and I was just discussing with a customer like 3 days ago how ironic it is that, if you work at a good restaurant in a good area, it's going to be very difficult to find good parking at a reasonable price. So, like, I either get parking tickets or I pay $20 a day to work at a good restaurant. And I think that's pretty much what the Marriott workers are complaining about, is that some of them, you know, work downtown. They have a huge commute. And it's impossible for them to possibly live in Boston unless they live in Roxbury or Mattapan or, you
well,
know, like it.
It's impossible to live in Boston if you're not an engineer or a lawyer.
If you're
or,
not super
you know,
rich.
Yeah, or a banker or, yeah. Boston is not for
just,
you.
But we've even just gotten to the point where, I mean, places that used to be affordable, like Dorchester, where my family is from, and Southie, places like that, even Somerville, where I live now and I'm leaving.
Yeah.
It's outside the pay grade of what used to be a good place for people in the hospitality industry to live.
I have friends who live near the theater district in a neighborhood which until about 15 years ago was where you went to get the drugs and maybe a hooker. And she's a doctor. And
maybe a hooker.
She's a doctor and he's a financial writer. And they're living in a one-bedroom condo.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing is, I remember when I first started doing comedy, I used to dream about living in one of the condos above the W on Stewart Street.
Yeah.
And
another place where you used to be able to get hookers.
And used to. But it became very clear very quickly just how out of any normal person's price range.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is that, like, the Marriott workers, they're not, it's not like they're asking for $50 an hour there or for salaried wages even. They just want to be able to legitimize going in town and making people have a good hospitality experience.
Every time they want to raise gas taxes, every time they want to raise fares on the MBTA, I always bring up the point that it is a regressive tax on the people who are barely getting by. And same thing goes for tolls. Tolls, you can make the argument that you can avoid the tolls if you take the T, but in some cases it's cheaper to drive than it is to take the T. Although by the time you put $40 a day parking on top of it, that's not going to work. One of the things that's happening here is Marriott is doing something that a number of other companies in the United States have experimented with, which is we schedule our workers based on demand, okay? But that's not entirely how the system works. What you're really doing is scheduling your workers to prevent them from getting 40 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a full-time job, which is what these people have, okay, these aren't like cabana boys. You know, this isn't the bar staff.
This is the maids, the doormen.
These are full-time employees of the Marriott Corporation. And week to week, they don't know how many hours they're going to get. Now, imagine trying to live your life not knowing how much money you were going to earn from your full-time job. That's not the way any of this is supposed to work. And they have a legitimate complaint here. And I would like to see the federal government do something about this. But, you know, it's the federal government.
As we talk about on the show all the time, that's one of the difficult things about this situation is that our country was founded on being of the people, for the people, by the people. It's supposed to be in the best interest of its citizens. And more often than not, it's in the best interest of a very, very small percentage of our citizens.
Wealth. That is the deciding factor. And every time this question comes up, you know, so I've had people come up to me and I've had conversations with people where they're like, how do you get ahead if you're the little guy? And I always tell them the same thing. You buy a house. You need to start accumulating wealth because that is the only way you are going to be taken seriously. If you rent, if you have a condo, government doesn't care about you because you're going to be gone in a couple of years. You're not sticking around. If you own a house, suddenly they have to pay attention. You know, suddenly you call up and you're like, I want some services. And they're like, all right, you own a house. You're sticking around for a while. You're going to vote. Yeah, we'll get you some services. That's the key to the whole thing.
Yeah, but it stinks that has to be the way it works.
Well, I agree with you.
As someone who, I guess I grew up a little naively because I never wanted for anything. I was raised very nicely and with money. Not, we weren't Rockefellers, but you know,
no,
they were only
Vanderbilts.
I didn't have to worry about being fed. Come on, I grew up in Quincy. I didn't grow up in Norwell.
By Quincy standards, you're a Vanderbilt.
Yeah, by Quincy standards, not by the standards of everyone I went to high school with. But neither here nor there. It was a cold, harsh reality once I went to college and started learning things and just started being out in the world to realize how little our government and our government services look out for the little guy. And not even the little guy, look out for the average citizen. I mean, I complained about money to my mother, and she says, you know, I actually read an article last week about how the majority of people these days live paycheck to paycheck. And I thought that I was just bad with money.
No, that's reality. I lived paycheck to paycheck well into my 30s. You know, not by choice, just the way things were. You know, and when I got into my 30s, I finally got to a point in my career where I could actually get a job with a decent salary. But I've been, you know, I've been flat broke. And when I say flat broke, I mean not a dime to my name. Broke. Waiting for that next paycheck. Trying to figure out what I was going to eat before that next paycheck showed up. And you realize when you're out in that space that, yeah, everybody's preying on you and nobody's looking out for you. And the answer to the question, unfortunately, is get wealth. And if you're poor, the question is, well, how do I get wealth? And the answer to that is, I don't know. I don't know. Because so much is, I think, a step in the right direction. Two things we should have in this country right now. And you can call me a socialist for saying this if you want. Everybody should have a $20 minimum wage. That should be the minimum wage in the United States of America. And regular hours. So that if you take a job with someone, and whether they work you for 40 hours or not, you know when you go in, these are my hours, this is what I'm going to get paid. And if the company only needs you for 35, they're still paying you for 40. And if you put that rule on the books, surprise, surprise, companies will figure out a way to get 40 hours worth of work in front of people.
It's unfortunate that, and I've been thinking this a lot the past couple of weeks, it's unfortunate how eager and ready people are to take advantage of other people.
Yeah.
And to exploit other people and to just disregard the general human needs that we have, like eating and paying rent and paying bills. And it's unfortunate to come to the maturity level to realize that so many people are just looking out for themselves and saying screw you to everybody else.
Well, the attitude of the modern employer is that's not my responsibility.
Yep.
You know, and that's where this thing goes off the rails, because they look at it and they say, you know what, if this group of people doesn't want to put up with it, they'll leave, and someone who will put up with it will come in. And what they don't realize is that they are perpetuating a system where we are in a race to the bottom. And it gets worse and worse and worse for people every single year. Oh, and by the way, when you treat your workers like that, the quality of the service that you get is garbage.
Yep.
And if those people are out there working their butts off, trying to give good service in spite of that, all the more credit to them. All right, what do we got? Brian Joyce.
Brian Joyce?
Not that Brian Joyce.
I was going to say, I know that name.
The other Brian Joyce.
So not the one that's killing it in Chattanooga.
No.
Are you listening, Brian?
Not that Brian Joyce.
Are you listening?
The other Brian Joyce. We always used to have to say that around here.
Is that the guy from Westport that they found dead?
Yes, Senator Brian Joyce.
I was gonna say the state senator, yeah.
Was found dead in his home.
While he was awaiting trial.
Last Thursday, federal corruption charges had been lodged against Joyce, alleging that he used his office to take bribes, including a car, I guess a new car, and not just the car, but all of the bribes together, more than $1 million. He had also been charged with racketeering, extortion, wire fraud, and money laundering. These are all variations on the he took bribes theme.
I was going to say, that's all like, oh, I got money in ways I'm not supposed to.
Yeah. He was 56. Foul play is not suspected. He leaves behind a wife and 5 children. That's a sad aspect of this story, but...
But, well, so... The research that I've done has said that it was that he was involved in a car accident, but they don't know if that was directly involved in his death.
What I heard is that those are two totally separate things.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we're assuming that he, I imagine.
The way the story is written suggests that he took his own life.
Yes.
That's what's being...
That was what I was so subtly putting by going...
Yeah, that's what's being said between the lines on that one. So,
yes.
You know, I feel bad for his wife. I feel bad for his kids. You know, save the taxpayers some money, which is a plus. But
yeah, I mean, it's... Well, and I mean, it's difficult. I had a friend that I grew up with whose father was prosecuted and charged for something involving a similar thing in Quincy. I'd prefer not to say the name, but let's just say mass lottery. But it tears down. I'm not trying to defend that sort of behavior at all, but it does. It tears down everything you've built just because you were trying to, as we were talking with the last story. Like,
I knew someone growing up who's
just trying to make a better life for yourself and your family,
who was a child of a politician and pretty much lorded it over everyone that dad was a politician.
Oh my God, get a load of me.
And then dad disappeared. Dad fled, and their world kind of turned upside down.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, and it's unfortunate that I mean, again, I'm not defending this sort of behavior, but you're also sometimes backed into a corner and just look and say, well, maybe I'll get away with it.
Yeah. I've got to throw a shout out here to Clifford Wilson of Dighton, who was arrested along with five other people for setting up illegal slot machines in southeastern Massachusetts. Now,
oh my goodness.
Here's
both stupid and brilliant.
Here's the choice quote from Massachusetts Attorney General Mara Healey talking to the Boston Herald. She said that these slot machines, quote, were in direct competition with lottery products and for customers who opted to play the games, end quote. Direct competition with lottery products. Do not mess with the Massachusetts lottery. They will find you. They will ruin you.
They will.
They are worse than the mob.
Well, and especially since, as I said, a girl I grew up with, her dad is in jail right now because of corruption within the lottery system. So if they weren't pains in the butt before, they are cracking the hell down.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't. Wow. That's where they went wrong. They were competing with the lottery. Wasn't they were running illegal slot machines? They were competing with the lottery, Shay.
Which, like, literally 2 days ago, I was on my way to work and decided I wanted an iced green tea and stopped at a convenience store and got stuck for 15 minutes.
Lotto zombie.
Uh-huh. Behind a guy who had, I swear to God, $300 worth of lottery tickets that he was redeeming. Only to buy more.
I can't stand them.
And I just sat there. I literally started, like, going.
Yeah.
Against the counter, being like, dude, I'm buying something that costs $2.13. Could you maybe just say, oh, I'm sorry, do you want to go ahead of me?
Yeah. Oh, no.
But the lottery
zombies are the worst. They got to have their tickets, and they got to have their tickets right now.
Oh, yeah. My brother always says that the Massachusetts, and compared to other states, we have perhaps the highest level of that stuff.
We are one of the most profitable lotteries in the country.
Yeah, and my brother always says it's tax on stupid Massachusetts citizens.
It is.
Like, I'll get a lottery ticket every once in a while just if I'm in a lucky mood, and I've won like $500 on one before. But those lottery drones drive me crazy.
The lotto zombies, watch out.
Oh my God.
Here's the thing you got to remember. When you play illegal slot machines and you don't play the lottery, our cities and towns lose. That's how we need to think about this. Our cities and towns lose. I can't believe Mara Healey said that, but yeah, Massachusetts.
It's like I said, it's my brother's right. It's stupid people tax.
Yeah.
Well, in national news, I'm going to say Sarah Sanders.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders?
Yes.
White House press secretary? I don't know. She said a lot of stuff in the last few days.
This is today.
Today.
This was her big.
Ba-dum-tsh. I know that she defended the orange president's remarks.
Yes, that is precisely what I'm referencing.
Yeah.
Where she said that Donald Trump, and this is, of course, referring to what we're going to be speaking about later, which is Donald Trump had a campaign rally in Mississippi. Why are my notes messed up?
So Mississippi or Tennessee is one of those flyover states in the South.
One of those flyover states. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. South Haven, Mississippi, last night, and made comments about, it basically attacked Christine Blasey Ford, which is, of course, the person who came forward about Brett Kavanaugh. And she refused to say whether Trump still thinks, as he said last week, that she was a credible witness. And when she spoke to reporters, which it was actually her first press briefing for a while, the last one was September 10th, she rejected the characterization that the president had ridiculed Ford during last night's event, saying, quote, "The president is simply putting out the facts of the matter."
I understand that you're getting paid to defend this
orange
gentleman.
But, like, how does she sleep at night? I'm so confused about that.
Can you be a traitor to women? Is Ambien
that strong?
Yeah. Keep in mind, this is like
I have trouble sleeping at night when I forgot to make a credit card payment.
This is like her first day back from vacation, too.
Yeah.
It's like, welcome back. Here you go. Yeah, guess what he said last night, Sarah? Yeah. You know, she's able to write her own ticket when she gets out of there. And I think everything that I see about Sarah Sanders tells me that she's basically a good person.
And that's
very good at her job.
Honestly, that's what bothers me the most about all of this is that, I mean, obviously a lot of smack gets talked about her, but from what I've seen, she's just a smart woman who's good at her job.
Yeah.
But because she's so good at her job, she ends up compromising all of these strides we've made in the last decade.
But I would remind you,
in the name of women getting jobs like that,
I would remind you, before you treat her too harshly, that she is in a deeply abusive relationship
with our president.
With an unrepentant man. That is a deeply abusive relationship. All right?
Which is the greatest irony of this all.
She should be suing for her working
is
conditions.
Is that this woman who is in a position, who is in this very, very high position in our country, has to deal with the very antithesis of what we've been trying to accomplish for the last decade. That is the biggest knee slapper of it all.
Do you think Donald Trump walks into her office like every other day and he's like,
hey girl.
No, he's like, I'll change. I promise. I'll change.
Well, it's just like what I say about comedy, where I say it's like my abusive boyfriend who occasionally makes up for it by buying me flowers. I bet Sarah Huckabee Sanders has tulips on her desk every day.
Yeah.
Like they, in every different color.
Yeah.
And
it's like for the idiots that drove her out of the restaurant, you should be buying her a drink. She should be drinking free wherever she goes.
This must suck for you so bad. That's what you should be saying to Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
She's the messenger. That's it. She's doing her job, and she's doing her job incredibly well. A job that a lot of people just got up and walked away from. I can't do it.
Well, and it reminds me of this thing from Family Guy that I bring up all the time on the show. I'm sure I've brought it up at least 5 times, but there's this thing from Family Guy where Brian, for those of you who aren't familiar, though, who isn't?
Brian Joyce?
The dog.
Oh, Brian the dog.
Is like, well, I'm the one that told President George W. Bush about Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah.
And then it's a cutaway to him yelling up to a treehouse, saying, "Mr. President, there's a disaster in New Orleans. You have to deal with this." And he says, "I'm reading Superfudge."
Yeah.
And he goes, "No. Like it's really important that you come deal with this." And President George W. Bush says, "Don't make me do stuff." And that's, I feel like that's the position that Sarah Huckabee Sanders is in, is that it's, she's obviously earned her position, probably didn't plan on it being for this volatile of a presidency.
Yeah.
But she's the one that has to be like, dude, the things you just said, we have to deal with all of those things. Like you're the president. Like we have to, I'm going to be the one dealing with this fallout.
Yeah.
And I mean, like you said, like my heart goes out to her. She's good at her job.
She is good at her job. And it's like, spare a thought.
Like so many people give her, like throw her so much shade, and she's good at what she does.
Spare a thought for Sarah Sanders. That poor woman is under siege every single day.
And it's all her dealing with the acts of an orange-faced moron.
Yeah, and by the way, folks, the alternative is I think Trump gives the press conferences himself, and Lord knows we don't want that.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you want to watch that on the news?
I can only take so much of Trump and Jim Acosta, the two least likable people in America, going at it. You know, it's like...
Hear, hear.
Can we go back to the days of dueling and let them sort it out on a riverbank in New Jersey?
I was going to say, yeah, let's Hamilton and Burr this.
Yeah, that would work for me. EAS test.
Yes, that is millions of cell phones across the U.S. today buzzed at 2:18 p.m., myself included, as the first test of the new presidential alert wireless warning system.
I got my presidential alert right here, and mine said, Dr. Christine Ford, no credibility, sad. So I'm pretty sure it came from the president.
No. Oh, well, that's what I loved when I got mine, which was... like, I looked at it and said, presidential alert. So, like, I shouldn't believe any of this, right?
Yeah. So, this thing has actually been around. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more in world news in a second.
Yeah, because, word.
This thing was passed into law in 2006. And we've had the emergency alert system forever in this country. If you are of a certain age, you may remember television being interrupted and the noise would go off and the little thing would come up.
It actually happens on the very medium that we're using right now.
Your cable box, if you have Comcast, pretty much does it once a week at like 12:15.
And it's not terrifying at all.
While you're trying to watch something. Yeah. So EAS was developed to alert people in the event of a nuclear attack. That's what EAS was created for.
Yeah.
The nuclear bombs are falling. Please kiss your loved ones goodbye.
Yeah, back when the baby boomers were hiding under their desks in school.
EAS has since been expanded to include things like Amber Alerts, weather alerts, active shooter situations, all kinds of various things that you want to avoid. Because everybody has smartphones now, or most people have smartphones, they have moved over to a wireless EAS system. This is new.
Oh, absolutely.
And there are varying levels of alert that can be sent out on EAS. This is the first time in the history of this country that a nationwide alert has been sent out to everybody's phone by the emergency alert system.
I would say in the entire country. Well, that's FEMA talked about it on their website, actually, saying like this is the fourth test of the nationwide TV and radio alert.
Yeah. Which they also tested today shortly after this.
Yes, it was like 2 minutes later, but it's the first of the wireless alert. And the only, most of them are usually local, which it's like Amber, like you said, Amber alerts, severe weather, things like that. And I've gotten them. I'm sure you've gotten them. Everyone's gotten them. When it says, you know, like, don't drive on Morrissey Boulevard now. It's flooded.
There are basically four levels to the system. The lowest level is local, which is your city or town, tornado alert, things like that.
Exactly.
Next level up is state, which is earthquake, tornado alerts again, like tsunami is coming, things like that. The next level up is federal. And federal would generally be invoked only if there was some sort of a military action taking place. Nuclear weapons are going to hit Florida. So, you know, please, if you are able, leave the Florida area.
Yeah.
The highest level is presidential. And when a presidential, this doesn't come from President Trump. This comes from FEMA.
Yeah, it's literally saying by presidential, they mean national.
Right. But it can only be issued by the president. The president directs FEMA to send this out. And a presidential alert means an immediate nationwide threat of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Widespread nuclear attack. Meteor is about to hit the planet. Yellowstone supervolcano is about to explode. Things that are going to have massive consequences throughout much of the United States of America. So it's Donald Trump sitting there being like, hey, you know, vote Republican in November. No, this is like, this is legit.
Something disastrous is about to happen to everyone.
Yeah, but don't count on it working when you need it.
We'll
talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, it's going to be super fun. Speaking of disasters, in world news, Indonesia.
Yeah, all right, here we go. 1,400 people, 1,407.
I would say 1,407.
Was the death toll as of this afternoon after an earthquake and a tsunami hit Sulawesi Island on Friday.
Jesus.
Today, a volcano went off on the island.
Oh, my God.
It's about 600 miles from where the earthquake was. Mm. So everybody who went inland to escape the tsunami
was like, here's a great new surprise.
Is now running away from the volcano. And they haven't quite connected if the earthquake caused the volcanic eruption or these are somehow linked. You're in the ring of fire. It's a volatile area.
I was going to say, they do believe that the fault line vibration had something to do with the volcano. But what's very interesting about the tsunami, oh my God, I can't believe I have to say that, is that a lot of destruction was as a result of soil liquefaction.
Yeah.
Which literally, it was just, there was a tsunami and it made the soil too wet and things just started collapsing. And if you watch footage of it, it's truly terrifying.
Some of that happens as a result of the earthquake as well.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is that it was like the earthquake moved things around. It was a perfect storm, really, because the earthquake shifted the earth around, and then the tsunami came in and soaked that shifted earth. And literally, it was like something out of a disaster movie. You look at footage of it, and things just start moving and tumbling and shifting and collapsing.
It's truly, and that's
why the death toll is so high, is that these people thought they were safe on the second floors of their houses or on their roofs, and then suddenly things just collapsed.
This is a word to add to your vocabulary. It's called liquefaction. And
liquefaction. I said liquefaction, but liquefaction.
It's same concept,
but liquefaction is, I imagine, the more dramatic version of liquefaction.
If you take super saturated soil, which you are likely to have in a beachfront environment, mm-hmm. and you shake it, the soil, which is normally mud because it's not being disturbed, completely loses its integrity. Everything just turns to water.
Yeah, everything just turns to...
Everything collapses.
Like muddy, like it looks like the Charles River.
But the other side of this is they got hit with an 18-foot high tsunami wave.
Oh, God.
And there is a lot of controversy right now.
Every time I think about it, my heart...
About whether or not people were told about this. There were no alarms on the beaches. They mm-hmm. do not have a siren warning system. You know what they have? The presidential alert system. They sent out text messages to everyone telling them that the tsunami was coming.
Hey, maybe run.
Here's the problem with sending text messages out to everyone.
Who brings their phone into their bathing suit?
No. The earthquake knocked out the cellular network.
Oh, Jesus.
So nobody got the warnings. So, for all of our presidential alert system testing that we had today, maybe you want to rethink broadcasting things on wireless networks.
Well, not honestly.
And making sure that you have some other sort of fail-safe. Now, in this country, we do. We've got radio and television, which are, you know, believe me, when the brown stuff hits the fan, everything's going to be going off, and there's going to be so many alarms going off, you're going to be like... something's happening. I need to get information right now.
Well, and that honestly has always been my issue with the internet and technology in general, which is that while we rely on it for so many things, it's generally unreliable in a situation like that. This is a perfect example. And like even when I was driving through Nebraska and that tornado hit, I knew because I was listening to the public radio.
Yeah.
And I happened to get the emergency alert.
No power?
If I hadn't been listening to a local radio station, I would have been driving straight into a tornado.
Yeah. No power, no infrastructure, no wireless, no texting, kids. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the big thing. I mean, think about September 11th, and I know that was 17 years ago, but you have to consider the fact that my cell phone didn't work that day. My dad had been in New York the day before. My sister worked at the mall across the street from the Pentagon. And no cell service worked that day. You think, even as far as we've come in improving it, you really think that that's not possible to happen again?
Most of the antennas were on top of one of the buildings that got hit.
This is true, but that's my point.
And you will recall, after that, the federal government kicked a bunch of broadcasters off the broadcast spectrum and took a bunch of airwaves and reserved them for first responders.
But that's my point.
Because it wasn't just you that couldn't get in touch with anybody.
I know.
The cops and the firefighters couldn't talk to each other.
I would say, that's my point. I know. And that's what I'm saying is I'm not trying to be selfish about this.
Yeah, no. But
that's my point is that, I mean, we become so reliant upon technology and upon new technology.
Yeah.
When this... what we're doing right now is, in my opinion, the most reliable one.
If you're in a tsunami zone, there should be giant air raid sirens on the beach. Without question, there should be. And if you're thinking of going on vacation somewhere where there's a beach, where there can be tsunamis, because there can be tsunamis on any beach anywhere in the world, find out if they have a warning system that doesn't rely on your smartphone working. Okay. And if they don't go there. Vote with your dollars and cents and let these resorts know, let these places know. If you don't have reasonable security measures, a text message is not going to do it for me.
Absolutely. Well, I think about the earthquake and subsequent tsunami that happened. I believe it was Boxing Day in
Thailand.
2004. Yeah, in Thailand. So many people were on... it was mostly British people, so I have to call it holiday. But so many people were on a holiday, and there was nothing.
Yeah.
They had no indication. And I remember I watched a documentary about it, and one of the survivors was talking about how we knew to start running was that all the locals started running.
Yeah.
And for kids, just so you know... the best way to know if a tsunami is about to come if the tide pulls out really, really quickly.
Yeah.
When the tide pulls out quickly, that isn't Mother Nature being adorable. That means that it's suddenly going to rush towards you.
And in light of that, they started putting in a tsunami warning system worldwide. It's more or less based on what they have in Japan. Japan has an excellent tsunami warning system.
Of course Japan does, because that's the thing is that
they spend money on this stuff.
Well, because, and that's a worthwhile, if it's, I don't know if there's anything more worthwhile than spending money to save human lives.
In Japan's case, it's
absurd that isn't just a universal concept.
In Japan's case, it doubles as a Godzilla tracker, but nonetheless, it is one of the best.
We all know he's coming back.
Yeah. Donna Strickland.
That's not the actress in China, right?
No, that's Faye Bingbing.
Oh, you have that too, huh?
No, but that's not who that is. I just know who Faye Bingbing is.
Mostly because her name is hilarious?
Yes.
You got me.
I've seen her in stuff. Donna Strickland is the third woman ever.
Oh, yes, that lady, the Nobel Prize.
And the first woman in 55 years to win a Nobel Prize for physics.
Get it.
They started rolling out the Nobels this week. Donna Strickland.
Where is she from? I forget.
She is an American.
No way.
Donna Strickland. Or wait.
There's an American that smart?
She's a Canadian. Excuse me. She's a Canadian. She and French physicist Gerard Mourou.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, he has an adorable name.
Developed... high-intensity, short-wavelength pulsing lasers. Okay? So what's the big deal about this? If you've ever had LASIK, or if you know someone who's had LASIK...
My father.
That's what LASIK is. She invented LASIK.
That is dope.
Now, she didn't invent LASIK to invent LASIK, but she invented the technology...
That made it possible.
That is used in LASIK and thousands of other applications. Also getting an award is American physicist Arthur Ashkin for his work with lasers. At 96 years old, he is the oldest ever to receive a Nobel Prize. And this is awesome. I don't know why there aren't more women in this. You know, Marie Curie had to die for her science to get the Nobel.
Poor Marie Curie.
Yeah.
But her husband was a butthead, too.
Yeah, but there's a lot of women that have made tremendous contributions to science and physics. So it is great to see a woman recognized for this.
Yeah, it really is. And honestly, I mean, not to get all feminist-y, because most feminists annoy me anyways, but a lot of it is just because we've been discouraged from pursuing things in math and science.
Yep.
I mean, I aced the math SAT, too, when I was 14 years old. And looking back now, even though it begrudges me to admit it, a big part of why I didn't take the opportunities that got presented to me as a result was because I was like, what dude's going to want to date a mathematician?
Girls can't math.
Like, exactly. Like, it, and I think that that's, but this is definitely, I mean, thinking about, I have some younger cousins who are very good in math and science, and it's things like this that make it possible for them to get the courage, get the excitement to do something with that sort of skill set.
Which is fantastic. And I love that aspect of this.
Okay. Oh, my least favorite category.
You love sports.
Oh, yeah. Sports are my favorite. I mean, the Sox game was fun as hell on Sunday, even though we lost. No, I actually like the stories I have for today. Which one do I want to tell you? Okay. I'm going to go Robert Woods.
Robert Woods.
Yeah.
Is on my fantasy team. Los Angeles Rams, Robert Woods.
Yes.
Scored a touchdown, 100 yards receiving for me this past Sunday. I haven't heard anything else about Robert Woods. He's not hurt, is he?
No, he's okay.
Okay. Because I need him.
Well, he's not hurt physically.
Okay.
Police in L.A. made 4 arrests yesterday in the case of the burglary at Robert Woods' house.
They broke into his house at an away game, didn't they?
He is the wide receiver for the Rams, or one of the wide receivers for the Rams. But he's actually one of the smaller stars on the list of this happening. They also actually... read my nose. They also actually robbed the homes of Rihanna and Christina Milian and baseball star Yaziel Puig. And they were part of a wave of robberies that has been happening apparently in the last year in Los Angeles. And inside the home of one of the 4 men who were arrested was a list of future targets, which included LeBron James, Viola Davis, and Matt Damon.
Oh, please rob Matt Damon.
I was going to say, please. I wouldn't feel that bad if somebody, like, no one deserves to get robbed. I've been robbed before, and it's awful.
Yeah. Well, burgled, I think, is what happens in this case. I've been burgled as well. Burgling is not fun. I've been burgled twice.
Burgled is a funny word anyways. But yeah, if Matt Damon got burgled, I'd be like, I mean,
tough break, guy.
You were a jerk from Boston.
Should have put in a better alarm guy.
Ked.
Earl Thomas.
Nope.
He's the corner for the Seattle Seahawks. Flipped off the Seahawks.
Oh, yes. I did read about this. Oh, my God. I can't believe I know this.
Gave the Seahawks the bird as he was carted from the field after breaking his leg in Sunday's game against the Arizona Cardinals. Okay.
I can't believe I actually knew a sports story that you had.
I got to say 2 things about this. First of all, I understand where the gesture comes from. Okay? I understand the frustration and the anger that Earl Thomas has in this situation. But when you are a professional athlete taking part in a live event, being watched by millions of people at home, when there are children in the stadium... when there are children at home watching,
that's not cool.
You really want to try and keep a lid on this stuff because the football players are human beings, okay? And you're allowed to express human emotion out on that field. But there is more than one way to do that. And when you're flipping the bird, basically you're telling all these kids who are watching this game, this is what you do when you're angry. You know, and I think he's going to regret that, and I think that's an unfortunate aspect of this. And this is not me saying, oh, won't someone think of the children, but it is me saying, oh, won't someone think of the children. you know?
Well, no, and I mean, that's fair, especially because there are so many kids who, I mean, even being a girl growing up, I thought Move On was like the coolest person in the world. Like, there are so many kids that look up to professional athletes, and to have one of them behave that way.
Move On's biceps are bigger than your head.
Is, I know, that's part of why I thought he was so cool. I met him once and just looked at him and was like, you're enormous.
Yeah, you're huge.
Oh, you just sounded like my mother. Mom, if you're listening, there's an H at the beginning of the word huge. Well, it's ironic that this is the story, mine, that you decided to use, because mine was about, I don't know how to pronounce his name because I don't care about sports, but Michael Hendricks? Yeah. He was suspended indefinitely.
Yeah.
In Seattle. So it's funny that so much Seahawks stuff is happening right now.
The other side of this Earl Thomas story is, you know, here's a guy who is the best at his position in the NFL, okay? This is a contract year for him. Hmm. The Seahawks have made it abundantly clear that they don't want to pay him. They want him to go. He's been beefing with Pete Carroll, who's the head coach out there for a while. You might remember him from USC or the New England Patriots, Pete Carroll. This is the worst case scenario for Earl Thomas, is he goes out there, and he's playing at the level that he plays at, and he breaks his leg. And now what happens? He's sidelined for the rest of the season, okay? Does this affect his value next year?
Yeah.
And we find ourselves with a couple of players in this situation. Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh is another example. He's not even showing up to play for the team until week 7. And in light of what happened to Earl Thomas, he may hold out now until week 10. I'd tell him to do it, okay? If you have no intention of paying a player, if you have no intention of keeping a player, let the player go. I understand.
Yeah, don't keep him on the hook.
I understand the motivation of these teams, which is, we're getting this guy for cheap. We're going to milk him for every dime that we can get out of him. And then we're going to let him go. And if he gets hurt, oh well. And football's a business, understandable. But at the same time, when we're talking about that elite 1% of players, future Hall of Famers, guys who make the game exciting to watch, They are singularly unique creatures who are owed a debt by this league. And I think the first thing that you got to do, free agency has to be rethought. The franchise tag has got to be removed from the NFL. No more franchise tag. When a player's contract is up, either they go into free agency immediately or you give them a new contract. None of this, we're going to keep you around without giving you a contract for a couple of years. No more. Free agency or franchise tag, done.
Well, and especially given, as much as you and our listeners know, especially, I don't care about football very much, but I know enough about it that given the amount of their body and their brain that they sacrifice, I mean, there are... I'm not one to defend the various football players who have ended up committing acts of violence, but at the same time, a lot of research has been done, not totally blaming it, but partially blaming it on the various concussions they got, on the various injuries and potential mental defects.
Getting their heads smashed around seems to impair impulse control.
Given all of that, given how much they sacrifice of... my mom just texted saying it's huge in my pronunciation. But given the amount of defects they have as a result of, like, and how much they give of themselves just to entertain people mostly.
Yeah.
Like, they... I mean, they... I always love seeing an athlete that clearly enjoys playing the sport that he's playing. But at the same time... They're giving a lot of them, and of course they're making a lot of money, but they're still giving a lot of themselves, and they're not going to be able to do it for very long. I mean, my mom's been a nurse for like 40 years. My dad's been a lawyer the entire time I've been alive, so like 30 some odd years. They can both do that if they need to until they die. A professional athlete, particularly a football player, he's got 10 years.
Limited window.
At best.
Yeah.
And to be asked to put their bodies and their minds through that, without any sort of job security in the short time that they know they deserve it is not, it's just unfair and it's unsafe. In entertainment news, oh my God, we were just talking about him. Now we're going to talk about him again. Matt Damon.
Matt Damon played Brett Kavanaugh on Saturday Night Live the other night. And here's my problem with this. having watched the Brett Kavanaugh footage or watched part of his testimony last Thursday.
His testimony was last Thursday.
Have you watched Superstore?
Yes.
The guy that plays the store manager, mm-hmm. Who used to get, what's his name? Kevin McKinnon? I'm confusing him with someone. I kept thinking as I was watching Brett Kavanaugh's testimony, I kept thinking Mark McKinney. That's what I'm
Mark
thinking.
McKinney. I was gonna say, I was like, there's a Joel McKinnon.
I'm watching this and I'm like, you sound like Mark McKinney. Oh, now you're making the Mark McKinney faces. Like, get Mark McKinney in there to do this. What do we got dumbass Damon in there for? Mark McKinney would have been perfect.
Well, and to be honest with you, my beef with it, my beef with it was really largely the sheer fact that Damon, over the years, much like we were referencing before, has definitely shown his side. Like, you know, like he's definitely been abrupt. He's lost his temper. He's all of these things where it's like, not saying you're as bad as this guy, but I don't really think you're in a position to be throwing stones in this glass house.
Yeah. Not saying the house is entirely made out of glass, but it's got some pretty damn big windows.
Yeah.
Pretty damn big windows.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Toys R Us.
Aren't they closing? Is that what you're...
No.
They're not.
This is the big news. They called off the bankruptcy auction, and the creditors have decided that they would be better off getting back into the retail business. So what they're going to do in the short term...
Oh, my goodness. It's churning.
What they're going to do in the short term, and this still has to be approved by the bankruptcy court, but what they're going to do in the short term is they're going to open a wholesale business called Jeffrey's Toy Box, and they're going to use the giraffe. And they are exploring possibilities of reopening Toys R Us retail locations, possibly initially as a store within a store concept. So you go to Sears, you go to Macy's, you go to a place like that.
Then it's going to be like it's like how there's a Starbucks inside every Target.
It's what FAO Schwartz did in every single retail outlet in New York City last Christmas.
Well, it's... I've got to say, they're definitely brilliant in focusing this on Jeffrey the giraffe, only because, well, first of all, he's adorable and we love him. Second of all, even though it has nothing to do with the franchise, oh my goodness, I wish my sister was here so she could tell me the name of that thing. But there's just this giraffe that's like one of the most popular toddler toys right now. Both of my nieces have them. I'm trying to remember the name of it. But it's definitely it's an attractive concept. Why can't I think of the name? Sophie the giraffe. But it's almost like when, I hate that this is the first comparison that comes into my head, but it's like how Marlboro used a cowboy to make cigarettes seem cool. Where it was like, involuntarily in your brain, you look at it and you think, cowboys are manly. I want to smoke cigarettes because this is obviously a manly thing. It's the same concept where it's like, my kid likes this giraffe toy. I should go to this toy store in order to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's a similar, it's almost like a subconscious thing that will happen in your brain to make you want to go to Toys R Us.
Yeah, so this is potentially good news if you are a Toys R Us kid. You may
want to call.
Whoa, hey, what's that? It's potentially good news if you're a Toys R Us kid. You may be able to set foot in a Toys R Us store again someday.
Oh.
And I think if they took that old, big box stores really aren't doing it anymore.
Nah.
But I think if you took that concept and did what they did with some of their locations late in the game mm-hmm. and made half of it Toys R Us and half of it Babies R Us.
That would be genius.
You can make those work again.
And I won't lie, when I was a kid, I loved riding bikes around that store, which they let you do.
Yeah.
And I would love to be able to take my nieces to do the same thing.
I'd just like to have a toy store again.
Yeah.
That's all
it's,
I want.
I mean, the toy store is a lost art that needs to be revamped. Or
don't
reunited.
There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Your holiday weekend 5-day forecast tonight. Clouds clear later. Lows in the 50s tomorrow. Going to be a little bit on the warm side. Highs in the mid-70s. Lows in the mid-50s tomorrow night. Might be some showers around depending on where you are. And it's going to feel a little bit humid. Friday, partly cloudy skies, only 60 for a high. Lows fall back into the 40s. Frost warnings Friday night, so spare those tender plants. Saturday, going to the fair, bright and sunny, 61 degrees. Lows in the mid-50s. By the way, if you're going to the Patriots game Thursday night, bring a coat. Could get chilly toward the end. Sunday, mostly sunny skies, mid-70s. Lows in the east around 60 degrees Sunday night. And then on Monday, Columbus Day, mostly cloudy skies, highs in the mid-60s, lows in the mid-50s. So kind of seasonal. We're going to be dealing with a lot of clouds. There's no real end in sight to the clouds for a while. But it's not going to be a complete washout, and it's going to be nice and autumny. So enjoy. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. Coming up next, NAFTA has been reworked. We'll let you know what's in it, who it's good for, right after this.
How can you tell a blade chuck roast from an arm chuck roast? The blade chuck roast has a long, thin cross-section of the shoulder blade bone, and the arm chuck has a small, round arm bone. Both make excellent pot roast. The arm chuck has less waste, fat, and bone, but the blade chuck is usually more tender and can be oven roasted if it's USDA Prime or Choice. For more free information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
A ranger station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yep, he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
Woo!